Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. This message is entitled, Contend for the Faith Once Delivered. Contend for the Faith Once Delivered, and comes from Jude chapter 3. I don't know what you are doing this morning, but I kindly ask that you stop it. Find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of prayer, he will close us out. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. But before I bring him on, I'd like to make a request and ask that you all please pray for Brother Kenny Washington and his family. He is a truck driver that my husband is very close to and has requested prayer on his behalf. So I just ask you all to please pray that God will bless them in all the ways that they stand in need of, as well as everyone else on the call. At this time, I bring you Brother Ben Griffin. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, everyone. Well, thank you for tuning in today. Certainly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. We are at the end of another year. And those of us who've been with us throughout 2020 can certainly have been one wild ride for the world as a whole. Great amount of tragedy, sorrow, and grief have stricken us, isolated, and neutralized so many of people, so many places. But yet we're still moving forward. I want to encourage each of us that in spite of what's going on in the world, and even though there are many of us are dying and are sick and families are being shattered because of the loss of the head breadwinners in the families, and children are just without parents and without kin people to lead them in the future. Not to feel as though that, or to feel insensitive to the needs and physical needs of others, there yet remains a challenge before us that we must all continuously be mindful of, and that is the faith. Because as citizens, or as Christian citizens, might add, of this world, we must expect trouble and difficulties. The Christian life is a race, it's a warfare, and we are in danger of being run down. More challenging times are coming, and more difficult days are ahead. However, God puts upon us first that which is less, and afterwards that which is more complicated and challenging. The less is to prepare us for the greater. So failure in that which is less carries with it defeat than that which is more challenging. But the reverse of this principle is true. Victory over the least leads to more significant victory over the greater. The saints were to contend for the faith. As Jude 3, the Bible said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, which it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to realize that the writer was truly blessed to have the skills and the inspiration to write as he did. But the author, Jude, initially had in mind to discuss the common salvation. Common salvation was those things that was unique, that was common to bringing folk into the family of God. But something happened. But changed plans because of the news that false teachers had appeared among the saints, seeking to lead them astray. His object was, therefore, to stir his readers to immediately resistance, to reject and to defend with all their might the faith which had been delivered to them. We must never be indifferent to or unmindful of those who would lead the faithful away from the truth. Yes, in spite of coronavirus and political fallout and everything that you and I are experiencing on a daily basis, and there's so many unanswered questions as to where we're going as a nation, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we still are up against a formidable enemy, and that is the one who would turn the world away from that one faith which was delivered. Yes, a lot of other things are going on, and a lot of other things need important attention, but we cannot close our eyes or turn our back on this one reality as true believers. You know, it's like when you run for political office, you only get 4 years, or you're reelected, you get 8 years, but after the presidency, you got to come back to being a citizen. Even if, as a child of God, if we run for Congress, run for Senate, run for anything, unless we're reelected, we have to come back to being a citizen. No matter what kind of job you may receive, promotion you may get on your job, you're always a citizen. No matter where you go in any country, when you come back to this country, you're always a citizen. And so my point is that no matter what we are surrounded with, there's always this need to know about Jesus Christ. And as citizens in the Christian community, the faith is the utmost significant aspect of our existence. And what I mean by this is that as they were told to contend for the faith, this word contend means to strive, struggle, combat, to engage in contest. That means that they were to contend for the faith. The faith in this setting represents a body of truth. It is an absolute, specific, and unique, peculiar, and one-of-a-kind faith. Thus, is it the faith to be contend for is a collection of spiritual truth, facts, and principles, and statutes to govern all those who are Christians. Now, I don't know where you may stand when it comes to same-sex marriage or whatever the case may be, but being a minister of the faith, you know, I get calls all the time, and certainly I was asked on yesterday what I thought about the nominee for the transportation secretary introduced his husband. And that's a paradox. That is out of anyone's imagination. And so when we talk about the faith, what does the Bible teach us on same-sex marriage? It doesn't. It opposes it. It has nothing to say about same-sex marriage other than marriages that exist between a male and a female. That's what the faith teaches. So here is one aspect of the faith. And the writer is encouraging the reader to contend for the faith, this sacred body of truth that's before us. If this sacred body of truth lose its impact, lose its meaning, lose its significance, then what standard do we as a people have? We need to realize that the faith is a definite faith. The faith, a particular, peculiar, one-of-a-kind, specific, and unique faith, there's none other like it. And we need to realize that it's so important that we contend for, we protect it, we strive, we stand up, we say something on its behalf. We live it. We surround ourselves with it. We embrace it. Because without this faith once delivered, what else do we have to say what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's phony, what's fake, what's fiction? And so today I just want to just bring this to our forefront. Is that in the first century, there were those who all they had was the faith to live their life for. The faith, characteristically speaking, it is the doctrine of faith or the truth which is to be received in order to affect our salvation. It is called faith because it is the instrument used by the Holy Spirit of God to bring us to obedience. It is the faith delivered by God, not discovered by man. It is a sacred deposit of truth. It is the faith delivered once and for all time. It is the faith that Christians must contend for. There is not another faith that is to come. The faith has already appeared and is here and is not going away. But we've got to do what we can do to protect this faith. We got to contend for it. We got to stand up for it. When we talk about the faith in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 and Romans 5 and 1:5, the Bible speaks of obedient to the faith. There are those of us who was obedient to the faith. This body of truth, this sacred truth, we obeyed it. We heard, we believed, we were baptized, we became saved. In 1 Corinthians 16:13 and Philippians 1:27, the Bible speaks of being steadfast in the faith. Not only must we be obedient to the faith, we've got to be rock steady, be steadfast, unmovable in the faith. Acts 13:8 and Galatians 1:23 speaks of preaching and defending the faith. And in 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 Timothy 4:7 speaks of departing from and keeping the faith. We know that then there are those who can lead the faith and those who have left the faith. And what I love about the scriptures, this definite article, the faith, one unique, once to all time faith, and we must keep the faith. And the way we keep it, we start living more openly about our faith and let people know that we are Christians. We believe what the Bible says about this. We got to contend for the faith. Yes, there's other things that appear to be more pressing, that is staying alive and keeping our families intact. Those things are dear to all of us. But the faith is as important, if not more important, than anything else. Without the faith, what principles do we have as a nation to follow? May God bless you and may he keep you as you will be encouraged this morning, that we mind what the faith is and be mindful of the faith. Let us pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for this day that you've given us. We trust that you continue to bless us and keep us. We know, Heavenly Father, that there's a lot of challenging times that are upon us. Some things that we can affect change and some things we can't. But we know, Heavenly Father, that you are in charge of all things. And we know that the things that are going on in our nation today are not pleasing to you in many ways, and they're not pleasing to us as well. But there's some things that we have to just deal with. And as an individual, we got to take our stand and make it known how we feel and what we believe about what's taking place in our country. But we know that the faith, that the positive truth that you've given us, that's all we have. That's the one thing that we can't be robbed of. And another thing is our soul we have control over. And no one can take that away from us. But we pray in the Father that you continue to bless men and women who are willing to aspire to political positions and leadership roles, that they will learn to put you first and learn what your faith is and defend, protect, and guard the faith the best they know how. We pray mightily for those who are traveling, for all those who are having challenging moments in their life. We pray for a young lady by the name of Lindora, who Heavenly Father is a friend of mine and through a mentoring program. Just 2 weeks ago, she lost her father. She lost two uncles and two aunts to the coronavirus. Her entire upper echelon, a generation, is now gone. She's all alone with a few cousins and so forth. But we pray in the Father that you continue to comfort her heart, give her the strength to carry on, give her the need to continue to mind the faith and contend in God's faith, protect their precious heart. We pray for Sister Danielle's husband, friend, and as truck drivers and his family and his challenges. We pray that he will be mighty in his overcoming of the challenges before him, comfort his heart, strengthen and guide him. Be with each and everyone that's on this call this morning. Continue to bless Grace Nurture, Grace View Church, and all those who are part of this great telecast. Be with us, guide and strengthen us. This we do pray, the Son, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I won't let
you. There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. see what struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometimes?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, when she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
nothing turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear in their hearts. I can hear them say,
I won't let nothing turn me around.
No weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no, no, no.
Won't let it turn.